Hi, and welcome to Double Helix, the transformation podcast. We're here together again, not quite all of us. We're sorry for the big lapse in releasing stuff. Hopefully we can get back on track with that. But now we're here almost exactly a year since we released our last podcast.
Semi-annual podcast.
Our semi-annual podcast. Anyway, I'm Ann Grabota.
I'm ABCD.
And I'm Skip Stillwater, coming to you live on this beautiful podcast day, broadcasting from a dimension of pure sex, where I appear to be transforming into a fox woman with six discreet breasts.
Okay, well, that's Tyrion continuing his tradition of not introducing himself as himself. But anyway.
I'm Tyrion.
Yeah, he's Tyrion. So we have a bunch of topics that we were shopping around, and the topic that we decided to do this week is how to get started making stuff, how to get started creating content. I see in the community a lot of times people kind of bemoaning that there's not more people making content or wishing that there was a way that they could get into making content. So we're going to talk about making stuff, which for us is going to center around mostly visual illustrative art and from your perspective, writing, right?
Yes, and I also want to say at the top that Fuego isn't in this podcast, and that's
right,
because she wasn't available. And also, we decided this one was, if we couldn't get Fuego in the podcast, we decided this one was the easiest one to do without her, because she doesn't create content so much herself. So while her, like, she would have valuable input to say,
connoisseur,
yeah.
But
she
more
does,
of a consumer.
She does write stuff, but she was okay not being in this one. And me and Abe were originally going to record this as a mini-sode. We're also testing a new recording method, which is easier for us to test with only two people. Me and Tyrion are actually on the same mic for the first time. So we have actually a pretty good microphone with like a pop shield and everything. And we're going to try mixing local audio, but that's kind of a little parting of the kimono or whatever.
Yeah. So hopefully this should be better audio quality. They're doing that, and I am standing in an apartment with fireworks going off outside. So it should be good all around, really. I mean, we've really pulled out all the stops to get rid of all the pops on their end, and then just add as many as possible back in on mine.
Listen, we could have convinced them that the fireworks were a special effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time we say tits, fireworks. but no, actually, November 5th, so we're recording it on 4chan Man Day in London right now. So, yeah, that's what's going on.
Terry just wanted to make 4chan Man joke. Anyway, so we've already derailed, and it's like 2 minutes of the podcast, but this is our new record. This is our Marin intro, isn't it?
Is it a new record?
So, anyway, we want to talk a little bit about... We all have made stuff or continue to make stuff. I draw stuff. I sometimes write stuff. Abe writes stuff. He very rarely draws stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't pan out well.
Sometimes he draws me like diagrams of things that are pretty funny. And then Tyrion, like,
I've written stuff more recently. I think I'm going to save some of that for later as somebody who's kind of like lapsed, like who used to be kind of what I would consider a furry artist or an artist in like any type of a fandom, and then kind of got out of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of have more of a unique perspective, but
still a valuable like side of things to bring into
it. I'm still a creative in my actual day-to-day
real
person job, but it doesn't
our 9
really
to 5 is creative, so we have definitely input there.
Yeah.
And Terry's really, like, I gotta say, pretty good at what he does, so he has a lot of good creative input. But yeah, so we did want to say that any advice that we're going to give is from our perspective, and what works for us might not work for you. So this is like a big, your mileage may vary kind of thing, and I'm going to give some advice that might not be how I did things, but how I think is prudent to do things now. Because when I got started as a content creator, it was more than a decade ago, and things were just different. And now there's a lot more advantages and things you can do, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But so I'm going to try and maybe incorporate some things that I feel like help out people trying to get started now that weren't available to me when I got started. So you're like a heavy grain of salt there, because I obviously I can't, it's hard to imagine how I would do things differently if I was getting started now, just because I'm not. I got started 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I started writing on like LiveJournal, and like recommending that route would be like saying, if you need to make friends, join MySpace. Like,
yeah.
Check out my Blogger.
My WordPress.
But yeah, so we've kind of been doing this for a long enough time where we have kind of like where we came from to kind of like where we are now puts us in kind of a unique spot in order to kind of say, like, you know, we've been through enough of the pitfalls to kind of direct people, I think, hopefully.
Yeah, and this isn't supposed to be any kind of a definitive thing.
Yeah, we're not going to try and be, like, too masturbatory about, like, oh, you know, we're super
well,
good.
Well, we're always masturbatory, let's
well,
be
yeah.
real. Anyway.
Yeah, we're like, well, we're super good, and,
so you're
you know,
saying
this
I should stop.
This is the correct route or anything. It's just like, here are some of our experiences and like thoughts. They may or may not help on this topic, but if they do, great. And if they don't, if you disagree, fine.
Hopefully it's also a little bit of solidarity for people who are creating content now, so that they know that like they're not alone in feeling some of the things that they felt, because I feel like there
want to create content.
Yeah. Or people who want to create content. Cause I feel like there are challenges in it that like, a lot of times when people sit down and they say, oh, I wish there was more TF art, or I wish there was more TF writing, or I don't understand why people don't just put their stuff online. Like, there's a lot of things that they're not taking into account when they say those things, because I think there's a lot of challenges that aren't necessarily readily apparent to people outside of the sphere of content creation, but we'll get there. So,
we're here to say, do it your damn self.
Yeah,
but,
just do it your damn self. And basically, but it, I mean, truer than ever, in our niche, you can either pay someone to do it or you can do it yourself. And there's a lot of benefits to trying to learn how to make stuff yourself. And I'm really an advocate of people trying to make their own stuff, even though I have gotten paid to make stuff in the past and I enjoy getting paid to make stuff. I also really like seeing what new talent brings to the community. And I don't think the community is a zero-sum game that can only sustain 5 artists. I think that there's tons of people who like our stuff and who want to see more stuff. And I can tell you, like, for good or ill, the community is always hungry for new content. So there's space for whatever you decide you want to make, no matter how niche or how broad. So we decided that there's 2 different aspects to creating content that we kind of want to talk about. And one of them is a technical aspect. So how do I get started doing something? And then how do I get better at doing it? And the other is the social aspect. So how do I get started sharing my stuff? Where do I put it? And what happens when people start to interact with me because of my stuff? So the first thing we're going to talk about is the technical aspect, or like, how do I get good at this thing?
Yeah, I was looking at our show notes and it says getting good. And all I can think of is the Dark Souls, you know, the guy, the knight pointing at the things like, get good.
Yeah.
How do you get good?
The first tip is to play a lot of Dark Souls.
Yes.
And then you become
because
an artist.
After that, anything seems easy.
Actually, I think Dark Souls is a really good metaphor for becoming an artist, because it's punishing and not necessarily super fun.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of trial and error, so that's I think we're good there. But
you suck for a long time until eventually you don't.
Yeah, you know, you say that, but that's fucking true.
Yeah,
it's probably true. It's probably true of writing too. And honestly, I've talked a lot. And we were going to talk about drawing first, but I kind of want to hear about, Abe, what do you think, how does a person get started writing, and what should they do to keep writing, even when they don't necessarily, like, they aren't feeling it?
Oh, so art. No.
Good night, everybody.
Like I said, when I first started writing, I was just writing on, like, LiveJournal for an audience of something like 5 people. And I did that for about, like, 4 years or so. And I know it's cliche to say, it just comes down to you just keep doing it and you get better over time. Like, you just keep writing shitty things and, like, over time you get better at doing it. Like, I would set myself challenges of like, okay, this week I will do something of like, I'm just going to do like a bunch of quick like character descriptions and then do that. And so I would generally try and do like one thing a week and not massive for each thing. Like each thing was, you know, maybe a couple of hundred words up to 1,000 words, just whatever I was interested in doing that particular day. But I did try and do it like once a week, and over time, I just got better at it. The other thing that is important is to just try and learn not to go on for too long in your writing. So yeah, the end.
I think Abe brought up a good point, and I think setting small, realistic goals.
I think that's a good tip for getting started drawing and getting started writing.
For either, it's really good.
Because I think probably if you've never written anything, doing like a NaNoWriMo is probably really daunting and impossible. Not impossible. I don't want to say anything's impossible. NaNoWriMo, it's like National Novel Writing Month. It's actually this month.
Oh, okay.
So you see a lot of people trying to do their NaNoWriMo, and I believe it's 50,000 words, right?
Yeah.
You have to write in the space of November.
Yeah, you sit down to write an entire novel, and while that's good, you'll learn a lot from doing that. The downside to writing something that big straight out the gate, well, the two main downsides that I can think of is because you're just trying to do quantity, is it's going to reinforce sort of like a lot of bad habits of like, oh, this is, you know, I just need to get going, and you'll produce a thing which is done, but not necessarily that great. And the other downside to writing something that big out the gate is that no one is going to want to read it. Like, it's going to be really long. It's not going to be good. Whereas if you just write like a bunch of short things, it's not too hard to be like, hey, here's a cool paragraph. I'm going to put that somewhere, like on Tumblr or something. And maybe people will go like, oh, this guy writes cool paragraphs. Like, they have neat ideas, and I can very quickly read through them and go, that's cool. I think
that plays into a unique challenge within our community too, where if you produce a bunch of short things, you're more likely to hit on something that other people might find interesting.
Yeah.
And this I guess we'll get to this in the sharing part, but if you do short things, you can kind of work on a bunch of different ideas. And then maybe if you get something that you liked as a short thing, you can expand it into a larger thing.
Well, yeah.
But then at least you're getting out a bunch of different ideas, so you can kind of see where you're at.
The thing is, if you limit yourself to small goals, it seems a lot more feasible. So, like, if you're a writer and you say, well, I want to get one page written a day, or even a paragraph written a day. Or if you're an artist, you'll say, like, okay, well, I want to at least do one sketch.
Yeah.
Every day.
I mean, that's the point of like artist challenges like Inktober. And are there writing challenges that are like the equivalent of like Inktober where you write for a prompt every day, but it's short?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure that like I've seen something like that where there's like a list of like 100 sort of adjectives or something, and you try and write something around like those adjectives. Maybe you like roll a dice or something to see which one you get, or maybe you just go through them. But I've seen stuff like that, definitely. They used to be more common, like I said, on LiveJournal, but I'm sure they're on Tumblr now, as most LiveJournal is.
I feel like LiveJournal had a really like strong fiction community that I'm not sure where that community went. It's got to be on another website, maybe on Tumblr. But I'm curious where exactly like erotic fiction goes if it's not for Affinity. Yeah, I've never used Literotica, so I'm not sure what their community is like. I guess I would be interested to check it out. I've seen a bunch of other sites that a lot of the TF porn I've read has been like super old school, like on it's been yours. but it's also been like super old school, like on the artist's or the writer's website kind of deal. And I'm kind of not sure. I guess there's CYOC, which is very short form, like TF fiction. And that's actually where you got started writing porn, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing that I was going to bring up is a place which...
ChooseYourOwnChange.net.
That's okay. Just to elaborate for other people.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to not elaborate. I guess we do assume that our people listening have a certain amount of awareness with the stuff that we're saying, like in terms of lingo, but that's not necessarily the case because a lot of the websites we're referencing are like dinosaur websites from 10 years ago. So transfer.com. No, I'm kidding. but anyway, CYOC, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, exactly. Like that is the place that I sort of got started writing TF stuff, because it kind of hit a lot of those things. If it had a community, like you'd put something out there, people would see it. But also it was very much built around there is a large story going on, but you can just build in smaller chunks. So it wasn't as much of a investment to, if you wanted to, like, basically, I want the story to exist. I don't have to write the whole thing. You can write like one or two scenes, and then hopefully someone else will take over from there. And that was always the cool thing about that, was that, you know, if you write something good, there was times when other people would come in and be like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to go spin this off from this now. And sometimes they'd ruin it, but then you just wouldn't read those branches. It's fine. Like, sometimes they'd make like really cool things. Actually, one
ruin,
other thing I would...
ruin for a given value of ruin, because exactly, that's the way our community thinks of ruin, like, AKA put in a fetish I didn't like, but continue.
One of the other things I wanted to say in terms of doing small things is that it's really handy to do a bunch of small things to learn with, because it means you're not like shackled to any one thing. Like if you sit down and go, I'm going to write this novel, and then you get like five pages in, you're like, well, this is awful, but like I've done so much work now, I want to keep going. Like, it's a lot easier if you're just writing a bunch of smaller things and you go, well, that small thing was garbage, but it's done, so who cares, and move on to something else.
I feel like you put a lot of priority on not being precious about your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really emphasize, I know you made a joke about editing earlier, and obviously I won't get into that whole process, because I feel like that's a little bit more of an advanced thing.
Yeah, like it's not necessarily applicable to everyone, and especially like not straight out of the gate. Like not everyone is immediately writing for like, oh, this is something I'm going to want to sell. So you know, that same pressure of editing doesn't apply. Like if you're just writing to learn, the most important thing is that you don't get sick of it and stop. So
yeah,
like,
but I do feel like it behooves newer writers to keep their stuff short in the porn community, because like we've talked about, reading a story is a lot larger of a time commitment than looking at a piece of artwork. And so I feel like you're way more likely to get people to give you a chance if your stuff is kind of pithy.
I guess
that's part of the social.
You know,
aspect.
Like I said, there's little things you can do. Like I said, if it's a Tumblr post, or I've seen like the Twitter accounts like TF Every Day, where it's like they're small little digestible things. It almost feels like exercises, right?
To see, like microfiction. I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or not.
TF Every Day, but I'm just saying, like, I've seen a couple people who are friends of ours who will just like.
On Twitter who have microfiction done. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of microfiction on Twitter that's not transformation related either. That's pretty good. Like there's a sci-fi one that I always see retweeted that's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's
but
funny
I think
how...
I do think microfiction is an interesting opportunity that didn't exist for us. Not that it didn't exist for us in the LiveJournal days, but is a much more like easy thing now, and it makes way more sense, and you have a platform for it.
And it's funny like how like even in like the span of like one or two tweets you can find something that's like bang, that hits it for somebody, you know, that's like that's what people like gravitate to, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know, can you jerk off to a tweet?
To a string of them, probably.
You can do it to anything, really. Like,
But to sort of like wrap it all up in terms of here are some actionable things that you can do in terms of getting better at writing. Number one is just do writing. Just keep doing it as much as you can. Number two is to ideally keep it brief, just so that you don't get tired. You don't just sort of write stale things that don't go anywhere. And you can sort of change it up and be like, okay, I'm doing this one thing for one paragraph that's focused on a scene. And now another thing I'm going to do later is focusing on finding interesting ways to describe something. And then I'm going to do like poetry because I'm 17 and that's what you do. and the number three thing is to try, I guess, and like not worry about writing for other people. But if you do have other people reading it, feedback can be useful if you're getting it. Like, it can be useful if someone points out something in a cool way. Like, we'll talk about feedback more in a social way. I'm just saying that there is useful feedback that you can hear for writing.
I think one interesting thing that people doing writing today have to their advantage that we didn't necessarily have going for us 10 years ago is the opportunity to do collaborative writing, which me and Abe do, I wouldn't say all the time, but I would say fairly frequently, or at least collaborative editing, where one of us will write something and then the other one it has it shared via Google Docs and can make suggestions or, you know, or help edit or whatever, proofread. And
not that,
that's pretty useful.
Not that that couldn't happen before. It's just that it seems like it's an easier way to do
it's,
it.
It's
yeah,
a much
the Google
way
Docs.
To do it that doesn't involve having to go back and forth via email or another
mm-hmm.
means. Because Google Docs, you can edit in real time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remembered one other thing I was wanting to bring up about sort of getting into writing as a specific thing that you can do. Especially from the TF point of view, one thing I would want to recommend is maybe try checking out the Phenoxo stable of products. In other words, the Trials
Shameless
and Tainted
plug.
Space, the Corruption
CYOC.
Of Champions.
Oh, Corruption of Champions. Sorry.
I had the same thing. I nearly did COIC and I was like, nope, COC. And also there's other ones, other sort of text-based TF games like Flexible Survival. The reason why I mention Phenoxo in particular, though, is because that he has an income based on that game, which is enough that lets him pay writers, and he also has a bounty board of these are scenes that I want written. If you can write them like well, then you will get paid for them. So I'm not saying, you know, just go write scenes willy-nilly and expect to be paid for them. But I think it's worth checking out as that's a way that you can potentially transition from I like this stuff, I like writing about this stuff, and I want to do something more to like, okay, I have incentive, like financial incentive with it, and I can like go
yeah.
somewhere, get my stuff out in front of people and
so
maybe
you just do the work on spec then and then someone decides if it's good enough and then you get paid?
I honestly don't know.
You haven't done it that way because you got headhunted to work on tits.
Yeah, essentially. But I think chances are what would happen is you would pitch the idea to Phenoxo and probably come in with like, here is other stuff I've written to prove that I can write
yeah.
well.
But we have no idea what this process is actually like,
yeah.
so we can't speak to that.
I will interject by saying I think it's hilarious that you said that work on tits, like Abe is like London's preeminent plastic surgeon. We're just gonna make these much bigger. much bigger.
Yeah.
No, but,
Trials and Tainted Space.
I get it. But my point is I was looking at the notes, and I mean, one other thing to really bring up is if you want to get better at writing, just read more, you know, see
yeah.
what other people are doing.
And then
mm-hmm.
the same
and
thing is true of art, honestly, like, and I do want to get into art in a minute, but mm-hmm. like, I think it's really important to be aware of what other people are doing, not just within your niche. So not just other TF writers, but writing in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you read a fair amount, and like, you take things into account in terms of your porn writing that are from a different sphere.
Yeah.
So you have influences in your writing that are outside of porn.
I feel like one of the
big influences in your writing, and especially like the last book we did, which was like fantasy fun times, ha ha ha, is Terry Pratchett. And like,
yeah.
he doesn't write monster girl pornography.
I was
going to
bring
up. If you want to read what it would seem like if Terry Pratchett wrote monster girl pornography.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, even, like, stuff like Kafka, like Metamorphosis, or stuff like that, you know? Like, it's not porn, it's not, like, that super amazing, like, he's using it more as a metaphor, but even, like, looking at stuff
yeah.
like that. And
well, we're
going to
do
like,
an episode on TF and literature,
yeah.
which I think will dovetail kind of into what you're talking about, but I think Terry's point is valid in that it's good to be aware of how writers outside of our niche are using the tropes of our niche in ways that aren't necessarily pornographic, because I think that there is more that you can get at in TF porn than just the porn.
Yeah, and you can also use that if you're not making a porn version of it, if you just want to write about TF for non-porn. But also,
which is a thing people can do, I guess, if they want.
But it's also quite fun, I find, to do sort of thing like take how people use TF tropes in the outside world to make in the non-porn way, and then be like, oh yeah, you're so used to seeing this in mainstream cartoons of this TF thing happens and it's so close to TF porn and then it's not. And if you're writing a TF story, you can be like, yeah, that, but then it is porn. That's basically basically what my latest thing was. It was like a monster manual like D&D, and it has a bunch of monsters in it that transform in various ways. And, that exists in D&D. There are like werewolves and stuff in D&D that can spread transformative stuff, but it's never like porn in the way that I want
it to
be.
It's never done the way you want it to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, so this whole book was like, yeah, that, but the way that I want it to be.
We've done that several times because Hive Mind is what if Starship Troopers was a porn, or I guess what if StarCraft went the way we wanted.
Though we say TF porn all the time, like we're saying that because it obviously has adult themes in it. Some people just get off on it being TF, so even if there's no explicit sex stuff on there, be aware that we also just mean like how, hot in general. Like
I think there's different, and we've beat this to death, but I think there's different levels of how people interface with TF and porn. Like sometimes some people want sex in their TF porn, some people don't want sex in their TF porn, and some people don't want porn in their TF at all. They don't want any sexual aspects whatsoever, and they don't get off on it. And that's another subset of people that I feel like I don't speak to a lot, just because that's not where I'm at. I've kind of been, a little bit at odds with that mindset sometimes, which is unfortunate because, like, whatever floats your boat, 100%. Like, I have no beef with anybody's whatever.
Yeah, they're all valid, but we can only speak to what we can speak to, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like we've talked about writing enough for now, so why don't we move on to art then?
Well, I didn't want to give writing the short shrift because I feel like a lot of times people in general, and specifically writers, do feel like writing is the de-emphasized half of the fandom. But to me, like, writing is more important than art. Like, writing is the porn that I care about. And, like,
yeah, I think that's possibly, like, I don't know if we're going to get into this on the social side of it, but there's definitely a thing of it's harder to get noticed as a writer because, like you were saying before, it's people are less likely to invest the time needed. Give you the chance. But one of the interesting things that I've noticed is that as a writer, you tend, as a porn writer, you tend to appeal to a particular set of people, which is to say women. So like as a straight guy writer, it's not the worst that, as a porn writer, your porn tends to be the type that women prefer. Whereas it seems like as an artist, a lot of the time the like porn artist, the audience for that is more male.
Is men. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. I think I would assume most of my clients are male or identify as men.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to say that because I feel like people sometimes do feel like writing doesn't get the attention that it should. And we can talk about that later in the social section. But so how to improve at drawing, I think I want to kind of speed through this because I think it could be a podcast in and of itself, and B, there's a lot of misconceptions about it, and I just kind of want to clear that stuff up as much as I can. I think getting into drawing is something that most people see as incredibly daunting because I feel like as artists, we've built up this idea that, and it's true, I've spent my whole life doing this, and I've really invested in trying to be good at this thing, and I've kind of blundered through it in a way that you really have to. Like, there's so many thoughts here, and there's the difference between a self-taught artist and somebody who went to school for it. And full disclosure, I did go to school for art, but not for fine art or illustration. I took some illustration classes, but that's not my focus. So I'm to more of an extent, I'm self-taught in that regard of like, a lot of my classes were just going into school and then being like, we'll draw this thing. And you don't really have what I found when I went to art school is that you don't get a lot of instruction on here's how to draw a thing. you are forced to practice a lot, which is the only way to improve as an artist. But I think people think that there's some magical thing at art school where you're like taught how to draw, which is just not,
no.
In my experience, not the case. And in
Terry's
experience too,
yeah.
We both went to school for the same thing. That's just not the case.
And let's not deride art school in any way. Like, if you want to try and make a career out of it, then yeah, you should go to school.
But I think
art.
That's such a small subset of people.
Yeah.
I would advise 90% of people against going to art school. And not because I don't think it's a viable career, but because I think art education is going through a transformative thing right now where being self-taught is actually viable. And there's a whole thing around it in terms of like illustrators are now mostly freelance. Like, your degree doesn't matter when you are a freelancer. Like, LaShawn Thomas, who's a famous animator, has like this whole thing I saw on his blog that was like the $10,000 art education. And it was basically buy yourself a computer, take all of these classes. This is equivalent to college.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations. And
but
so, but
you have to have
that's
the drive
whole,
in order to,
yeah,
you know,
and
that's part
so
of it.
Far above what I want to talk about right now. Like, that's a career decision.
Yeah.
This is like getting into something as a hobby.
As a
and
niche
I'm,
hobby.
I'm sorry that I feel like I'm meandering a lot.
No, it's okay.
Basically, my point is that I don't want the bar to get into drawing to be super high. And I think for so many people, starting to draw is an unachievable thing because they get so discouraged so quickly, and it's so easy to start doing something and not be good at it and give up.
Well,
and I think people see that with so many things. Like, you see it with fitness,
yeah.
You see it with like a lot of other things, but I think drawing is just one of those things where people feel like, well, if this can't be exactly what I want, then there's no point in me doing it and I should stop.
May I? Because
sure.
This is sort of what happened to me a little bit. Like, I was drawing, like, you know, characters and stuff when I was younger, like, as a kid. Like, I feel like somebody had kind of said, like, when we're kids, we all draw, right? That's
yeah.
a thing we do. And then at some point, we just kind of stop for whatever reason. Maybe because we think it's not a good pursuit or something like that.
At some point, you get
yeah.
to, I feel like most kids get discouraged.
Maybe. But what happened to me was that I kind of got into this situation where I loved to draw. Drawing was this thing that I did for fun. And then when I found the internet as a young kid, like, I realized there's this whole community of people who are drawing all of these things, and they're really cool and they're really good. And I kind of got stuck into this trap of, like, I felt like I was never going to be as good as those other people. Like, I tried to be as good as those other people, and when I couldn't, I just stopped. And that I felt was like probably one of the worst things I ever did in my life, was because like I just kept drawing as like it was almost like a way to break into this community, but I was treating it as a competition. I was saying like,
I think there's a point there about the social aspect.
Yeah.
But I agree with you about.
And so like we kind of said earlier, like, if you're going to do it because you want to do it. And, you know, don't feel like, don't look at other artists for inspiration, but make sure that bar is, you know, where, you know, realize that if you're just starting out, that's okay. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to keep learning.
Yeah. And like, try and see, it's very hard in your own artwork to see the improvement. Like, and I say that as somebody who's been drawing for my whole life and has been drawing professionally for more than 10 years. And like, try and give yourself a break. Understand that as long as you're putting the time in, you're going to get better. Even if you don't see the improvement from consecutive drawing to consecutive drawing.
It's not an overnight
thing. If you look back
yeah.
6 months ago, there's a whole thing. There's a whole theory that I have about artistic progression and how it's actually a sine wave,
mm-hmm.
and how your skill is an upwards trajectory that's relatively solid. But the art that you produce is a sine wave that wraps around your skill. So at any moment, you could produce something that's above your skill level or below your skill level, but it trends in general upwards
yeah.
as you practice more. And I think people hit those valleys where they're producing something that they feel like is below their skill level, and it's so difficult for them to deal with, and it feels shitty. Like, it still feels shitty to me when that happens, and I'm a professional artist.
But be aware that it happens to people who you know, you might say, like, oh, they're amazing. That can't happen to them. It does. It always does.
Everybody feels the same about it. So I would say a big part of the thing about going into drawing is just your mindset. It's just that you kind of have to be open to, you have to allow yourself to make mistakes. You have to allow yourself to fail sometimes. You have to know when to bail on a drawing when it's not working. And these are the things that are true of writing too. So maybe this is the mindset that you have to enter into any creative endeavor with. But I feel like people are so hypercritical of themselves when it comes to drawing that so many people get discouraged and don't even start.
If I can just sort of cut in here for a second, I wanted to say that, like, it sounds like the overall thing is that you need to be okay with being bad. And the thing with with art is that normally a lot of the people that are artists are bad when they're like 12, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If you're trying to start out being an artist, you need to be okay with producing art that looks like a 12-year-old when you're not necessarily 12, and getting through that and getting better. Whereas I feel as a writer, it's a lot easier to start out because, generally speaking, you know enough to not write like a 12-year-old. It's going to seem at least okay. I feel like as a writer, everyone starts out as okay, and as an artist, everyone starts out as bad. And that's, I think, the hard part.
This kind of leads into, like, the next point we were going to mention, which was, like, like we said earlier, like, if you're a writer, like, read other stuff to get a flavor for what other people are doing. It works the same for art, but, like, with art, there's also tutorials. Like,
yeah,
you can see,
I
like,
have
other...
a list of stuff here.
Yeah.
So I don't want to cut you off, but here are some things that might help, like, if you want to get into drawing, besides going into it with a non-critical mindset. Like, life drawing. Drawing from life, drawing people that you can see is super important. If you can't get people to pose for you or draw stuff from life, there's a ton of great resources online. Pixel Lovely, if you Google it, it's Pixel Lovely.
We should probably put some of these in our show notes.
They have a great timed life drawing thing where they'll show you certain photos and you can say, okay, I only want to see this photo for a minute. So you only have a minute to be able to get the gesture of that photo.
That's what that's
down.
Called, by the way, is
it's called
gesture drawing.
Is when you do very short life drawings. If you want to do TF art, understanding human anatomy is so important. I cannot overemphasize how important it is. I'm still learning human anatomy all the time. I still get critiques on my anatomy. I've tried really hard to improve over the years, but it's just something that's turbo difficult.
Yeah, it is.
But it's uniquely for TF artists over furry artists. And I think furry artists need to understand human anatomy too in a way that sometimes some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But uniquely for TF artists, you have to understand human anatomy, you have to understand animal anatomy, you have to understand whatever else you're incorporating, whether it's science fiction or alien or whatever, you have to understand how that kind of anatomy works, and you have to understand how that anatomy becomes other anatomy. And it, like, that's very conceptually
learn
difficult.
The rules before you can break them.
Yeah, so the way you create this library of understanding in yourself by doing life drawing, by looking at tutorials, by understanding the anatomy of people and animals and aliens that you can then reconstruct into fantasy elements like transformation. Like, if you look at a lot of great fantasy masters, like people who paint fantasy and science fiction art, they're pulling so much of what they do from things that really do exist. You're not just pulling things out of thin air. You're putting together things that are real, but you're reconstructing them in ways that are totally unique. Like, one of my favorite things to do is to go on a sleazy porn site and find a sleazy porn and look at the pose, deconstruct it, sketch it, and then figure out how I can make that a TF thing.
Let's be fair, that's one of my favorite things for you to do as well.
But you've used reference from real porn before, too, as like a starting point for a story.
Yeah.
You also use art as a starting point for a story, which you didn't mention at all.
That's another thing. Like, it's really cool to just go, okay, here is an image that I particularly like, or even like a sequence that I particularly like. I'm going to write a story for that. And it can either be, you know, you talk to the person created it and see if they're okay with it, and then you can write it specifically for that, or just write it, like, inspired by that, which I think the first piece that I posted to FA was just like, oh, here is a image that I super like, and I spun that off into a whole sort of TF story just because I liked that image and used that to do a whole thing. Like, that is one of the cool things about writing, is that it's a lot easier to just do that.
What that essentially is working from reference.
Mm.
So when you're an artist, it's taking photos and
it's not drawings tracing.
And tutorials. It's not tracing, but even if you're, I would argue, if you're tracing stuff and you're not selling it, I don't care.
It's practice. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're tracing stuff for practice, I don't give a fuck. And there's a lot of professional artists that do that. As long as you're not selling it, it doesn't matter.
And like, also, like, if not you, promoting if you it as yours, right?
Like, well, you should disclose that you trace something. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, I fucking made this from thin air. Like, you should say, oh, I used this reference.
Yeah.
Or whatever. If you want to create stuff for sale and you want to trace elements of it, if you took the photos or if you buy stock photography and so own the copyright to it, you can trace that stuff. There's a huge stigma in the fandom against tracing. And trust me, I've had plenty of fucking tracers trace my artwork and then try and pass it off as theirs, which at worst is annoying. But like, as long as they're not making money off it, I kind of don't give a shit. That's not a free pass to go trace my artwork. But like, I'm way more pissed off about people who pirate my pay stuff than some chump who's like tracing my shit and then trying to say it's theirs.
The point is that using photos or tracing over photos is a good way to
learn. That can be
a
good way to learn, because that teaches, like, but what you have to do is not just copy the photo, but understand the construction of the anatomy in the photo.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mistake a lot of tracers who are trying to pass off the work as their own make, is that their understanding of anatomy is poor because they rely on tracing. And so when they get to elements that aren't traced, you can tell their art looks significantly worse, because they never learned how to make those elements seem right.
Yeah, so to summarize, basically, traces are okay sometimes. Overwatch joke.
Okay. Yes.
None of us play Overwatch enough to make an actual joke, but for any of you who are listening to this, just hanging out for something like that, just put edit something of your own in there. It'll be funnier than anything we could do.
We had a running joke about, like, somebody who kept requesting TF of Tracer turning into a butt farting.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Specifically farting.
Yeah, she has to turn into a butt and then fart. I don't want to shit on anybody's thing.
Yeah,
but just that person's
he was very insistent
about really wanting to see Tracer turning into a butt farting. It was in it's in the TF threads on 4chan, which I read the TF threads on Trash and D.
Yeah. Be very critical, be very, like, careful with places like that. Like, those are, like, we'll talk more about that when we get to social stuff. Like, those are places where it's a little harder to, like, you know, if you're throwing that stuff up for people like that, you
is
know.
Is this the point to transition into talking about the social stuff? Because I feel like...
I want to say one more thing about art, and then we can go.
Before you do that, I wanted to ask you if you had any advice for people, because TF is kind of a weird subject, like, there's things that, like, aren't necessarily readily available for, like, reference, like clothes ripping or you know, like the muzzle growth stuff or stuff like that. What would you recommend for somebody
there's
who
plenty
wants
of movies that have done muzzle growth, like the scene in American Werewolf in London, like, that everybody talks about is like the scene. But if you're an artist who has a good conceptual imagination and you can understand the anatomy of one thing and the anatomy of another thing, you understand how they can transform into each other. Like, this is kind of a blue example, but like, people who draw TG, like, there's people who understand male and female anatomy, and then there's people who don't, and you can tell who those people are based on how they draw the, like, transition of like physical sex. Mm-hmm. So I think that as long as you have a good understanding of both things, you can kind of draw parallels and see where.
But I wasn't saying just anatomy though, but things like clothes ripping or other stuff.
Well,
would you say
ripping,
like movies and things are.
There's plenty of reference for stuff like that in superhero comics. There's like the Incredible Hulk. There's like muscle growth has a lot of clothes ripping, which like muscle growth isn't my thing, but sometimes there's artists in other genres that just do something really well and you can appreciate it even if they're not like, even if it's not your bag, baby. Yeah. Like, sorry. But,
so what was the thing that you were wanting to say, then, Aang?
Okay. The thing I wanted to say is the bar is no longer super high for digital art. The money bar. Like, when I got started doing digital art, it was very expensive to get into digital art because tablets were super expensive, and the only program that was worth shit was Adobe Photoshop, which even now is starting to get pretty cheap. It's not an excuse anymore that digital art is too expensive because tablets are a fraction of what they once were. Wacom has, like, they had the Bamboo. I don't know if they discontinued the Bamboo.
It is called something else now.
Their cheapest
tablet. It's Wack Off, you're right. Yes, sorry.
Oh, my God.
No, they do
fucking
have, like...
Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
They do have tablets available now for right around the $80 to $100 mark, which is really not that much.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like something that you could be comfortable asking for a Christmas present or something like that.
Not to discount, like, traditional art, but I'm just saying, like, if you're, like, digital art is kind of a unique thing, and if you get comfortable with it early, there is so many possibilities with digital art.
I like digital art because, like I said, the money, the entrance point is very low. I mean, the money entrance point with writing is super low. But
the money entrance point with writing is great.
Art,
like, it's brilliant.
Digital
like,
art
a
is extremely low. But if you want to just get into drawing, fucking computer paper and mechanical pencils. Like, you don't need anything flashy. Hmm. It's rarely about your tools. It's 99% of the time about your skill. There are some computer tools that actually do help and will raise your skill level, but they're very few and far between, and there's very little that's worth investing in. The one thing I will say is, if you're just doing digital artwork, Photoshop is not that great anymore. Like
Paint Tool Sai,
Paint
Manga
Tool
Studio.
Sai is relatively cheap slash possibly free. Fucking Clip Studio Paint, which used to be Manga Studio, is on sale, usually $15. This thing is a Photoshop killer. It's insane. It's still what I do my line art in. I bought the pro version for $50. That is unreal considering how much stuff I've used this program for. It is ridiculous. And even if you do want Photoshop to do like photo manipulation, stuff like that, like Photoshop's $10 a month. You can get Photoshop for $10 a month from Adobe. And that's $120 a year, so it's a big investment. But, I mean, if you're going to sink a couple hours a month into doing artwork, like, you pay $10 a month for Netflix.
And maybe we should talk about, like, the whole idea of, like, doing commissions. Like, don't feel discouraged, like, if you think you're good enough to open up for commissions and nobody buys.
I think commissions are a whole different rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to talk about monetizing art in the sense of just getting started as an artist, because I do think way too many people jump from, I just started doing this thing, to, oh my God, I need to make money doing this thing. And I think there's a toxic idea that people need to make money from whatever it is they're spending their time on. It's okay for you to have a hobby.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to spend time drawing art that you're not going to make money off of. Even if you are a professional artist, you still have to be able to have time to draw stuff that's not making you money. Because if you feel like you can only ever make money off your art and you have to draw all the time, whatever other people are paying you to do, you will not like drawing anymore. It's so toxic.
Yeah. That's what I think that was my point, is like, don't feel pressured to do it only for like, I'm going to get good so I can open up for commissions.
Don't do that.
No,
that's
bad,
a terrible
bad
thing.
Start
if
doing
only,
it for yourself.
If you only want to draw to make money, like, go
you're
to school
for
engineering.
You're getting into it for the wrong
reason. Yeah. I don't even know what to tell you. Like, and that's not shitting on people who go to school for engineering. Like, that's amazing and great. I'm just saying, like, art's not a great way to make money. If you're getting in it to make money, that's not a good idea.
As somebody who's
else.
Been doing art professionally for several years now.
We're incredibly lucky in that we both have pretty good jobs in an art related field and make a good salary. Like, we own a house together. Like, we've pretty much had a very lucky run. In art, that is a really hard thing to do. And I do not recommend going into art as a field unless it is the thing that you want to do every single day until you fucking drop dead.
Yeah.
I'm really psychotic about that.
No, the best thing I can think of is when you do art all day.
Sorry, you go.
When you do art all day, when you get home, sometimes it makes it even harder to try and do the stuff you want to do.
No, dude, if you can't fucking do art all day and then get home and do art, don't fucking do art.
Yeah, that was that point.
Like, fuck you. I work a fucking 12-hour day and I come home and draw cat girls. And if you can't do that shit, fuck you, don't do it. Sorry. I realize that I'm totally going against the bar that I set for myself in the beginning, but there's a huge threshold of difference between a professional and someone who does something as a hobby.
Yeah. Look, Fuego isn't here. Someone had to take the Fuego approach of fuck you, go 100%. But what I was going to say is that one of the main reasons that I started writing was, like, I had a bunch of things that I wanted to exist, and unless I made them, they wouldn't. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, that's probably the mindset that you want to go in with, of like, hey, this is a story that I wish would exist, or like, hey, this is an art piece that I wish would exist, or just, hey, this would be really fun to do, and it'll be a fun thing for me to do. Like, I think that is the entryway a lot more than, like, I want to have a bunch of cool things that everyone loves, because initially,
yeah,
that's just not going to be the case. Like, you're
that's
not
a really good
come
segue to our
again.
Next section.
Yeah, you want to talk
and
about
did
getting
you
noticed?
Do that on purpose because it was really smart.
Sure,
take the credit.
So I think the thing you just mentioned about doing something because you want to do it and not for the fame or the glory or the money is a really good segue into the social section, because I think people have this idea. I don't know if they generally. I've encountered it a lot, but I don't know how pervasive it is. That if they just get good at a niche porn thing, then they're going to get all this attention and all this money and all these bitches.
And all the love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's...
Which goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like, just do it for you. You're going to encounter a couple of people who are going to try and put you down for what you're doing. Or they're... Maybe this is a good point to say, like, be receptive to critique as long as it is actual critique.
Critique and people being shitty to you are two different things.
And we'll talk a little bit about the difference.
We can talk about that now.
Yeah. So if somebody is just like, oh, this looks like a ripoff of so-and-so, or this isn't that good, or, you know, if they have nothing
constructive
to say about it.
The difference
between
someone being an asshole to you and someone giving you critique is whether you can take what they said and gain anything from it. The next time you do artwork.
Yeah.
Whether it's writing or drawing.
And some people are probably going to give you critique even when you didn't ask for it.
Unsolicited critique is a rough topic.
It is a rough topic.
I have a lot of thoughts on that either way.
Yeah, but I would say, like, choose carefully whether or not. But either way, if it is constructive, try not to take it to heart. You know, try to learn from it. But,
And I think in terms of feedback, one thing that I want to say is that we can say to blue until we're blue in the face that, you know, you should do it for you and not care what anyone says. It's fine to want to get positive comments and to feel
good if
people do give you positive comments. That doesn't mean that you're just
that.
Sort of being a jerk or doing it for attention. Like, every artist is going to be like, oh man, I got some positive comments. That's great. The hard part is making sure that if you don't get positive comments, you don't stop. Or if you get some negative comments, you don't stop.
I agree with you. And I'm coming into this in a relative position of privilege because I'm at the point where I can be like, well, it doesn't matter if three people are turds to me. I have 30 other people commenting on every single thing that I post. Like there is definitely, like, I still like, I'm not saying that I don't like seeing positive comments. I love seeing positive comments, and, like, everybody who's ever left me any positive comments, like, thank you, you're the best bro. But, like, I want to make it clear that you can't exist for that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just do things for the positive comments. Not only because I don't think it's a good motivation, but also because I don't think it's tenable.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll also lead you in really confusing directions, because if you always listen to what other people want you to do, people are very conflicting and they will tell you things that don't match up, and then you'll have no idea what direction to take your art in. So you kind of have to be the pilot, you kind of have to be the captain of your own ship in that way, where you're deciding what you want to do with your art, and people can react to that how they may, and you can choose to take their reactions to heart or not, as you will, but you're not allowing them to determine the direction of your ship. And because I've gotten so much confusing feedback from people in terms of, well, I like this thing, I hate this thing, I want this, I hate that. Like,
yeah.
And if you listen to all of those people, you'll never get anything done.
It's okay to not do a sequence of something. Like, if people, like, you're always going to get people saying, like, if they're being generous, they're going to say, oh, I wish this was a sequence. If they're not, they're going to, being generous, they'll say, sequence, please, or plucks, because
yeah.
They're fuckos. And, like, it's okay to just be, like, to have, like, feedback like that and just be, like, no, I don't need to fulfill that.
I want to say that as much as I'm, like, people should contribute, and I want to foster a feeling of collaboration within the community, and I want to make this awesome community where everybody makes the things that they love. You owe the community nothing. You don't owe anyone their favorite porn. You don't.
The difference, we have this written out in the notes, that the difference is, like, there's a difference between, like, good feedback, positive feedback, and then good critique, and then bad critique, and then people just trying to get a commission for free. And that's sequence blocks, or I wish this had a, you know, this character instead of that character, or was a girl, or was happening to me. Like,
fuck those people forever. Fuck people who anonymously send you messages on Tumblr demanding porn of Tracer. Fuck people in general. I'm sorry I'm making this a Gregorian chant. But, like, seriously, fuck people who are trying to use you as a conduit to get their favorite shit for free.
Yeah.
I don't recommend doing requests at all. Like, I recommend doing gifts. If you feel like it. And never, ever do gifts for people who have started to expect it. Like, giving your art from yourself is a sacrifice that you make of your time and your energy because you care about someone. It is not something that people should just be able to shit all over. And it really, really fucking guts me when I see people who are waving around their gift art like it's a fucking, some kind of neener flag. And I hate it so much. I wish people were more respectful of the amount of time and energy and care that has to go into this shit.
Yeah.
And weren't just so like, well, you should make the thing I want.
Well,
I know I'm complaining a lot.
No,
I
was going to say,
this is like 60% of my experience on the internet.
This brings up a good point.
If Andrew Rinaldi notes you, do not respond. Continue.
An Andrew Rinaldi drop. Fair enough. I was going to say, like, maybe this is a good point to talk about, like, if you're communicating with other artists and you're doing, like, trades or things like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes it's a little intimidating because, like, if one artist is of a significant skill level versus another.
Don't finish a trade with someone until they've at least showed you a sketch of their half. Continue.
I was going to say, like, if you're an artist just starting out, like, you know, sometimes it's okay, but don't get discouraged if you say, like, hey, I want to do a trade with you, and they say no. Because sometimes people are busy, sometimes people are just
There's also a lot of artists that have a policy of no trades, and if they do, it's not because they're dicks, it's because they've been burned a bunch.
Yeah.
That, or they have, like, 50 people asking him for trades, and they just physically can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people, you know, there are, unfortunately, it's hard to say, but yeah, there are people out there who would just say, like, I want to do a trade with you, and then they get their stuff for free, and then just never, you know, do that. But, I mean, I think it's, other than that, like, especially, like, if you find another artist who's about, like, the same skill level as you, or think, like, oh, wow, you know, this is a person I want to interact with, that could be a good way to kind of get started, to challenge yourself a little bit.
I would argue, do gift art unless you have an established rapport with the person where you've talked to them at least once or twice. Mm-hmm. I would not ask for a trade with someone you've never talked to.
Yeah.
Out of the blue. I don't think that's a good policy.
I was going to say another cool avenue is to do fan art. And one of the things that
Fan art and gift art are
a little different, but one of the things, like, if you want to challenge yourself, if you want to try doing something like somebody's character and sending it to them, for the most part, I've seen a lot of artists be very receptive about, like, you know, getting fan art and being like, oh, wow, thank you, that's great.
That's how you get famous on Tumblr. Well, you draw fan art for people who have more followers than you.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game, but, like, I mean, I feel like if you want to do that and say, like, hey, I drew your character, if you have any feedback, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's another way to kind of get good, and it also helps, you know, by connecting with a couple artists and saying, like, hey, I'm interested in learning. That's cool, you know. Like
that said, I would say don't sort of put pressure on teaching you on someone that you don't know. It's fine.
I 100% agree with that.
It's fine to go, here's fan art that I did of a character of yours. I hope you like it. And if they came back with suggestions, that's great. I would probably say you wouldn't want to go like, hey, I'm interested in learning. So if you want to like teach me, like, well, I mean, that's not a bad thing to necessarily say, but I wouldn't want to put pressure on that.
If someone said that to me apropos of nothing, like we had never talked before, I would be annoyed. Like, and I try and be really patient and tolerant with people who like want to do trades or who want to do this or that. But then there is a line that people cross where it feels like they just want access.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, really bothers me, and I hate it. And the worst part of it is I try so hard not to be an asshole, but then like that, sometimes people leave you no choice, and that's a shitty, shitty feeling.
Yeah. Oh, here's another.
Please be cognizant of the fact that everyone on the internet is a human being.
Yep.
And they have a limited amount of time, and you have a limited amount of time. And in the same token, that I don't think people should be making infinite requests of you to draw, once you learn to draw whatever fucking thing that they want. I don't think you should make those requests of other people.
Sorry, Terry, you were saying.
I was going to say, if you do want to see, if you're interested in seeing how some artists do what they do.
Streaming
is great, because that way, not only do you get to see the artist like process, you can also get into a chat and interact with other people who are kind of there, who may have a shared similar interest. So streams are really great for stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's really solid.
I think streaming can be hit or miss, but I think that seeing someone else's process is really helpful. This is like, I guess, a social and a technical thing, but I've had experiences where I've done collabs or worked with people, and when I start picking apart their files, I learn stuff, and that can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're talking about...
Maybe we should talk about some of the platforms people can put their stuff out on.
I think that was where I was going to move. So there's different art sites, there's different places that you can put. If we're specifically talking about TF stuff, there's like FA, DA, Weasel,
Transfer,
Tumblr, Transfer. And I think there's pluses and minuses to all of them. Transfer obviously is like you have to get accepted. So you have to apply and then get accepted. I don't think it's super hard to get on Transfer, but I haven't had to get on Transfer for about 12 years.
You know, maybe this is a good point to talk about. When we were younger, there were a few sites where you had to apply in order to get on
these
sites.
Yeah, you had to get through
a
screening process to get on the sites.
And if your art wasn't good enough, you got rejected. And that could, you know, that was very, you know, tough.
Sometimes that was a motivating factor to get better. I feel like wanting to get on YERF made me a better artist, even though by the time I was good enough to get on YERF, YERF had shut down. So that kind of blew a little bit.
Yeah. Now that we talked about some platforms that are kind of good, like, you know, there's FA, there's Tumblr, there's Transfer, places,
they,
TA.
They all have different downfalls, though.
There's pluses and minuses to both I think you're going to have to kind of, like, traverse and learn what each of the different, you know.
It's also
communities on DA.
It's also fair that, like, you may not want to be on any of them for particular reasons. Like, it's fair to just not like the FA and the people behind FA and so not want to have anything to do with it. And it's also fair to, like, not want to be on DeviantArt because you want to do porn and DeviantArt doesn't let you do porn. So don't let anyone pressure you into having to be on any one particular platform. Like, it's fine if you don't
want to. I think something that people don't acknowledge a lot is that maintaining a presence on multiple platforms is exhausting and annoying. So I find that you're more likely to keep posting stuff if you're posting on less platforms.
And also if you find a platform where people are more receptive to your stuff and you want to just stick with that
particular
platform.
Which is why
a
lot of people stayed with FA even after all the bullshit with FA, because that's where the audience still was.
Yeah. Mm.
And people often act like it's the onus is on the artist to move, but I think the onus is on the audience to move, but that's a whole other
argument.
Although there are... I will say there are some websites that have made cross-posting really easy. Furry Network has a tool that allows you to import all your shit from FA, although I will confess I haven't logged into Furry Network in about 2 months. And there's also Weasel has like a nifty cross-posting thing where it's like a browser add-on, and anytime you post something to FA, you can just click a thing and it uploads it to Weasel.
Yeah.
So that's pretty useful.
I also want to say that in terms of the audience, you've always said, Aang, that like whenever you put stuff on transfer, it does surprisingly well. Like in terms of the audience numbers, there is surprisingly high. So, like,
yes, as long as it's not porn, because then they have to log in and they're not seeing it.
Yeah, so it's there may be less of a sense of community in some places, but if you want to sort of get eyeballs for some reason, you know, there are other places than the sort of the conventional, like, FA.
That's a good point, too. Like, sometimes you just want to put stuff out there. You don't necessarily want to communicate with other people, which is okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is...
FA and Transfer also have the ability, and I don't know if other sites have this too, but I'm assuming that a lot of sites do, to turn off comments on your work, which I find incredibly useful.
Yeah, if you want to do something that's more personal, like porn that includes you, I cannot imagine why you would not want to turn that... I mean, no, I can totally imagine why people would not want to turn that on, but it would be much... Personal opinion would be, like, yeah, having the ability to turn that on makes it so much better to just not have to deal with comments that you don't want.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, sometimes you do want comments, you know.
Yeah.
But
I find that most of the time the comments that people want and the comments that people want to make are just a little bit askew from each other.
No, I was going to say, is there any platforms that people should, like, just either out and out avoid or be very open? Like wary posting on, or
I think you should be cognizant of the fact that your shit is going to get reposted places that you don't want it, and there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. And unless you want to DMCA everyone, like, you just have to deal with it. Unfortunately, like, me and Abe end up in that situation a lot vis-a-vis our pay stuff, where we have to like contact websites and be like, this person is not authorized to post this stuff. It is copyrighted material. But there's also sites like E621 where basically everything you do will get reposted if you're...
That's more of an image board, right? So it's not like people submit stuff to...
People submit stuff to E621. It's a gallery.
Okay, so
it becomes a mirror of your FA gallery, because people just upload your shit to E621. They tag it with stuff, and then other people comment on it, and you've never uploaded it.
Yeah.
You have no idea that it's happening.
Okay, but people are doing that. Like, people aren't necessarily submitting their own art to E621.
Some people do.
Okay.
People curate their own galleries on
E621. But yeah, E621 tends to be some of the more raw comments I've seen. Like, people will just say, like, because I think people realize that
I would
it's
say
not
that the threshold of quality for those comments is lower.
That's
the nicest way I can
say it. I was going to say, like, 4chan and stuff like that, but I mean...
Yeah, but here's the thing. How much time have you actually spent on 4chan?
Not as much as you.
I'm not
going
to be a 4chan apologist, because there are parts of that website that I wish would be not just, like, thrown into the fires of hell, but, like, I wish that the concepts behind them would stop existing, like Pol.
Mm-hmm.
But I've found that some of the fetish people are less shitty, although there's, unfortunately, there's still, like, the fucking turdos come in from the other boards, and they have to fucking infect, like, the fucking monster girl thread with, like, anti-Semitism, because of course they do.
So, but, yeah,
you really have to browse 4chan with a sense of, like...
But I'm saying, like,
nothing
if you're
anyone says
out,
on here matters, yeah. And I hate all of these people. Please just give me the girls laying in.
Yeah, I would not recommend, like, if you're a newer artist starting out, being like, hey, guys, what do you think of my stuff?
Like,
I don't know.
4chan's actually
that.
Been pretty good about that. Like, there's
really?
Yeah. threads, there's, like, threads
there's
where you
threads.
Can get, like, you know, you can just do starting out stuff. And there's that for writers as well. Like, I've definitely seen, like, they call it green texting there or whatever. You know, you write simple sort of stories and people give you feedback and people are like, wow, this is really good. It is.
Somebody will write a story and throw it up on a pastebin and then have people comment on it.
It's surprisingly good at entry level because they don't expect to have, like, artists there. Like, it's like, oh, this is someone that's writing or doing the exact shit that we're talking about right here. It's not like there's a ton of artists doing this. So, like, it's not a bad place for entry level because you can you can distinguish yourself just by existing, essentially.
Nice.
Yeah, but you are just another fucking anonymous chuggo, unless you post with a trip code, but, or like a name. Sorry, yeah. I actually don't know if those things are 100% the same. I guess I need to lurk more.
but one thing I was wanting to recommend is that if you don't want to have your stuff posted on shitty image boards, you could just be a writer. And then, then, like, the great thing about, like, getting less attention is you also get less negative attention and people steal your shit.
Shit does get pirated less.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, it just doesn't fit on image boards
Although
in the same
people,
way that images
people,
do.
People frequently think that your stories are by me.
Yeah, there's worse. Shitty. There's worse things. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Well, I think that's partly, you know, just a danger of, like, that collaborative process anyway, is that people don't necessarily realize that, you know, I mean, you've always tried to be very explicit about crediting Abe when,
of course.
But, you know, people can do stuff, like, I've seen people, like, take watermarks or signatures off of pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not cool.
Well, there's also a huge thing on image boards of, like, editing porn. So, like, they'll be, like, here's some stuff. I wish she was pooping or whatever it is. And then people edit it so that it's whatever the person wanted.
Have you been on the I wish she was pooping thread?
Babe.
So quality.
I guarantee you there's I wish she was pooping thread.
I wish she was pooping.
And again, like, not to rag on anyone's
shit
stuff.
Apparently you don't, because you're not in the I wish she was pooping thread.
Oh my god. I wish I could turn back time. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I can't remember what I'm fucking talking about. And I've totally done that. I've definitely edited porn before and then had it get reposted on 4chan as, like, original porn, which I think is kind of funny.
But, like, what about other, like, social sites where you're, like, what about, like, Twitter and, like, some of the other social media stuff?
Twitter, it's hard to say Twitter isn't a hellhole, but
yeah,
I think to stay sane, you have to have two Twitters, a locked and a public, and you have to be a different person on them.
Yeah. For the most part, I think people don't realize, like, we've said this before, but sometimes our AD accounts aren't, like, the secret porn repository as much as they're, like, I'm going to bitch about some stuff that I don't
people
want.
People think my
AD
account
see.
Is my secret, like, porn hole. And it, to some extent, is because I do post stuff on there that I don't post anywhere else. But I also
you
bitch
got
a lot about,
40
like, my,
AD requests.
My actual job. I have so many requests from people on my AD that I don't know at all. And it's like, fucking no, I don't know you at all. Like, why would I allow you in my, like, closest internet sphere just because you like catgirls? Like, that's not enough for me to feel like we have a fucking real personal
connection. How do you explain me?
Because, you got in early.
Yeah. And the thing is,
I was grandfathered.
The AD account, at least.
You got in early and Abe Indiana Jones'd in as I was closing the door.
The way that it works, at least in my conception of it, is basically that the AD account is where I can say stuff that is more like, I would be worried about saying this because people could find out who I am in real life from this or use it against me in real life, or even just venting about stuff that I don't necessarily want the entire internet to be able to see if they want to. And also sometimes like writing or posting secret porn, but it's like, I mainly just use it as, these are the people that I care about enough and probably care about me enough that they're not going to be mad because, like, here is the third tweet in a row where I'm just like, oh my God, you know, this person directly in front of me at the office, you know, keeps farting and she's not even turned out to trace it.
We went to the same place.
The quality content you're missing.
I know. The quality content of this podcast, a.k.a. shitting and farting. Continue.
No, but I was going to say, what about the other side of that, which is like using your public account to like try and get your work out and try.
Twitter can be a good place to promo your stuff. The things that get traction on Twitter, I cannot understand I haven't figured out the algorithm. Like, you know what I mean? So I think cute stuff tends to get more traction. Barra stuff gets a lot of traction. I think the audience on Twitter is different than it is everywhere else.
Yeah.
Certain audiences are more amenable to sexy girls. Certain audiences are more amenable to like hairy gay dudes. So I haven't really been able to figure out that magic bullet. Mm-hmm. But the format for Twitter images, if you want to do promos, is 1528x856.
Because
that's not on any websites anywhere. So there you go.
I just gave it to you. I think I find that like Twitter is, I don't know, at least in my use of it, it's something that I check throughout the day and at work. So I don't tend to follow as many people that are just like, oh, here is a super good porn artist. I want a direct stream of their porn straight to my eyeballs at all time. Because
I agree
with that.
That's why God made Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's where I go for that. And your mileage may vary. But I find a social interaction place than anything else.
You think Tumblr is better for, like, if you
porn?
Just want...
1,000%.
Well, for just, like, putting it out there with, like, limited social interaction.
Yeah. I also am scared to post any hardcore catgirl pornography on Twitter because Dan Savage is still following me.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan, I'm worried I'm going to push you away. I actually don't know if he's still following me. But if he is, he's a total bro.
I read the most recent Savage love letter, and it was crazy. It was, I fucked a Trump supporter, and I don't know what to do now.
Wow. That's the thing.
But what if you get that Dan Savage favorite on your catgirl pornography, and you're like, whoa, dude, really? Really? All right.
I can't see that happening for a number of reasons.
I know.
He may just appreciate it on like a, okay, you're doing some good work over here. Not my thing. But, you're doing God's work over there.
Got a happy little bush in the corner there. Let's just put that
in. Listen, I also host a podcast about sex stuff, and that is the end of the Venn diagram of me and Dan Savage.
Yeah.
Actually, no, we're both super liberal, so there's that.
Speaking of which, we should probably get back to talking about this actual podcast we're doing right now.
Yeah.
It's like what
Jesus
we're supposed
Christ.
To be talking about.
Fine, God, Mom. Okay. But yeah, so we were talking about different places to post your art. Tumblr, I found, can be good. Like, stuff can just get a lot of traction on there. The negative thing about Tumblr is you don't get a lot of feedback. Like, you'll get a lot of people, like, just liking your stuff or sometimes sharing it, although sharing it is less common than liking it. But Tumblr seems like one of those sites where people are like, cool, and then they click a button and that's the end of their interaction with you.
Yeah.
Mm.
So like that's kind of the negative I see as part of Tumblr, and also that Yahoo's like gonna be insolvent, right? Or like, what's going on with that?
Oh, I don't know.
Like Tumblr, I feel like Tumblr's always constantly on the verge of collapsing.
Mm.
So I don't trust, like, it's insane that like Fur Affinity, in all of its like insane history of buyouts and like
has survived.
Melting down and all this stuff, has like been around the fucking block like long. Like search engines have died and like all these other websites.
They're killing Vine, but Fur Affinity lives on.
They're killing Vine, but Fur Affinity goes on, and all of these other websites are unto dust, and Fur Affinity is still fucking full of fox sticks. God bless. So I don't. That's my whole diatribe there.
Should we? I think we should probably bring this to a close because I think we've probably gone on for long enough about this. So is there
Thanks,
any...
Thanks, Abe. I hate you too.
Well, I just I don't want to make this like a 4-hour podcast, and I'm cognizant of the fact that we super...
I hate when it's a 4-hour podcast because I have to edit it.
Yeah, exactly. So are there any closing points that we want to make?
Don't stop. Just keep doing
thinking
it.
About tomorrow. Don't yeah. stop. No. It'll soon be here.
No, I was going, my point was like, you're going to get some things that are going to discourage you. You're going to get things that it's not going to seem worth it. It's important to keep plowing. Like, if it's important to you, just keep making stuff, you know? Yeah. And like Aang said, like, you know, it's that sine wave, up and down, up and down. You have good days, you have terrible days.
And I think the mark of someone who really, like, gives a fuck and wants to keep going is that they keep going even when it's not easy.
Yeah.
Even, like, sometimes drawings come really easy, sometimes art comes really easy, and sometimes it doesn't. And that's, like, me. That's me right now. Like, I go through periods where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, everything I'm making is fucking gold, this is awesome. And then I go through periods where I'm like, oh, man, this is a total fucking bummer. But I have to keep going.
But just, yeah, know that that's not just you, that, you know, that everybody starts from a certain place.
Everybody starts from an egg, and then the sperm.
Especially, well, especially, I thought you were going to say on Twitter, everyone's an egg.
Yeah.
I don't trust you if you're an egg.
And I think from my thing, that one of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, like we said before, as a writer, just try and do stuff. Don't be afraid to edit. We actually had a whole podcast basically, which was just me saying you should, you know, edit stuff down. But we realized it went on for too long, so we cut it out. And that's not a joke. We literally edited out the whole podcast about
comically,
saying edit
he
more.
Went on for 45 minutes about how you need to edit yourself.
Yeah, and then we just went, this is dumb, and just didn't release it because it was bad.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid
That. Actually, full disclosure, my computer crashed and lost the podcast.
It was a couple of things. But also the other thing I wanted to just sort of reinforce is that it's easier to be a writer and it's harder to be a good known writer. And
your thesaurus is a good thing.
That's the trademark that you make. It's, you know, it's easier to start and it's harder to, like, get, like, well known.
Off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well known as I am when I'm saying that, like, take that with a grain of salt, but, like,
listen, you're on the fucking paste bin of TF porn guys that 4chan circulates all the time. You're like the second person. It's like Otep and then you and then a bunch of people I don't know.
Yeah, being high on the alphabetical list also can help sometimes, but yeah, like, encouraging people to read your stuff is difficult. Hooking up with a good artist to give people incentive to read your stories can be really helpful, because if people see a really good picture, they're more likely to then go, oh, okay, this is, you know, I would like to hear more. Oh, there's a story about this? Cool, I will read that.
You're welcome.
But yeah.
You're welcome.
But yeah, like, you just have to sort of keep going until you are good enough to sort of do that. And don't be afraid to be sort of brief. Because it's
don't be afraid to be bad and be nice to people who are trying, and you'll get more of the art you jerk off
to.
You just got to give them time.
Yeah. Like, if don't think that just because you've hit a certain level, it's okay to shit on the people below you, because everybody started at a certain place.
Agree.
You know?
Be kind.
Rewind.
Yep.
But also just be cool to each other. I feel like that's the general message of every podcast. Don't be shitty to people about what they like. Don't accept people being shitty to you about what you like. Do your own shit into infinity. Womp womp. The end.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. So should we wrap it up here then?
I think so. That's what I was trying to do. Thanks. Thanks for making it explicit.
All right. So for explicitly wrapping it up, I'm ABCD.
I'm Anger Boda.
I'm Tarion, and you're going to actually edit the end of this podcast so that it's Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, right, as our outro?
I will get sued.
Oh, come on. You got 30 seconds.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you.
Keep fucking them snake babes.
There it is.